From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report, with daily coverage of the latest news in California politics, culture, and public affairs.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Californians are breathing some of the most toxic air in the nation. That, according to a survey by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Analysis of the survey by the L.A. Times finds that only New York State has more toxins in its air than California, substances that increase the risk of cancer from airborne chemicals. By far the biggest sources of air pollution are cars and trucks and other things with engines that burn gasoline or diesel fuel. Residents of Orange and Los Angeles counties are breathing some of the dirtiest air in the state. A statewide field poll finds growing acceptance of gay and lesbian relationships and legal protections for homosexuals. Most state residents support anti-discrimination policies in the workplace, and 67% support allowing openly gay men and women to serve in the military. And 55%, including a majority of Catholics, support allowing same-sex couples to adopt children, assuming they're fit to be parents in other ways. Pollster Mark DiCamillo says those most likely to support gay rights are those who personally know someone who's homosexual.
For example, should homosexual relations be legal? Among those who personally know gays and lesbians, it's 3-1, yes, 69% to 23. If you don't know any gays and lesbians in your own life, you support that being illegal, 50% to 36%. So very different attitudes and opinions just on familiarity.
Despite the trends, a slight majority of Californians, 51%, still oppose allowing gay couples to marry. Still, DiCamillo says the findings put California ahead of most other states when it comes to support for gay rights.
We are in many social issues in California, kind of at the cutting edge of new social attitudes and mores, and I think these results probably keep us in that realm. I think these are a little more progressive attitudes, a little more accommodating attitudes than what you find in the national public.
In other news, there's good and bad news for public education this morning. On the one hand, less than one-third of California schools have met state achievement goals, according to the most recent Academic Performance Index, or API. But State School Superintendent Jack O'Connell is pleased that all schools showed a dramatic improvement from recent years.
These results show that California students are making solid academic gains. By any measurement, public education in California is clearly moving in the right direction.
Nearly 70% more high schools met state achievement goals last year compared to the year before, and 20% more elementary and middle schools did too. The API rates schools based on how students score on various standardized tests. A group of voters is suing the state of California and 18 counties in an attempt to stop them from using or buying electronic voting machines made by Diebold in the November general election. The lawsuit could affect as many as one-third of California counties, Sarah Varney reports.
An organization called Voter Action filed the lawsuit in San Francisco Superior Court Tuesday, alleging Secretary of State Bruce McPherson violated state law when he certified Diebold's TSX machine for use in California. The lawsuit says the Diebold TSX doesn't provide a mandatory paper trail accessible to visually impaired voters and uses computer codes banned by state law that are vulnerable to hacking. Voter Action attorney Lowell Finley.
The Secretary of State's own computer science experts, in a 38-page report to him, noted that the Diebold interpreted code made the system highly vulnerable to tampering. They confirmed a report that had come out of the state of Florida last year that demonstrated how easy it was to switch votes in the system by manipulating memory cards and to leave no trace that you have done this.
The Secretary of State's office has not yet seen the lawsuit, but says problems with the machines can be addressed. Assistant Secretary of State Ashley Giovannitone says a group of computer experts has concluded that local county officials can manage the software risks by physically safeguarding the machines.
Secretary of State Bruce McPherson has required that any county that puts one of these systems to use will need to also implement these additional security measures and use procedures. And they are things such as ensuring a recording the chain of custody for the memory card, as well as making sure that there is a tamper-proof seal placed on top of the memory card.
Giovannatone added the Diebold TSX does allow disabled voters to cast and verify their vote. All California counties are required to have certified machines accessible to disabled voters by the June election. But the group that filed the lawsuit Tuesday is looking ahead to November. They say they know it's too late to interfere with the process for the spring primary. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
Well, it seems that things like using solar energy and investing in hybrid vehicles are more than just a personal virtue after all. A new study finds a growing number of the world's leading companies are using alternative energy to address global warming as part of their business strategy. Stephanie Martin explains.
The study was conducted by Ceres, a coalition of institutional investors who collectively manage about $3 trillion in assets. Ceres researchers studied 100 companies to see how they're managing greenhouse gas emissions and planning for a more sustainable future. Six California companies were included in the study. Chevron received high marks for its investment in renewable energy and success in cutting greenhouse emissions. Power companies Calpine, Pacific Gas and Electric, and Edison International also were commended for their leadership in energy efficiency programs. Occidental Energy received lower marks for its heavy investment in non-renewable energy sources, while San Diego-based Sempra Energy came in near the bottom of its class. Ceres President Mindy Luber says the study, which included data contained in securities filings, company reports, and corporate websites, docked Sempra for failing to articulate a clear strategy for combating climate change.
Climate change is a major risk to the industry, a major risk to companies. Regulatory changes may change the entire atmosphere Sempra's working in, and they need to begin acting now.
Sempra spokesman Art Larson called the study highly subjective and says it should have given more credit to the company for its efforts to use solar power and other forms of renewable energy.
We've contracted in the last couple of years for more than 12% of our customers' energy needs from renewable resources, and with the goal of having 20% by 2010. So those kinds of things, I think, were missed in this report.
Ceres researchers say the report should be used by investors and Wall Street analysts to determine which companies have the most comprehensive climate change policies and will have the least trouble adapting to new emission standards. They also recommend that companies themselves use the report to benchmark their performance and as motivation to improve their scores the next time around. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie Martin.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, March 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for Coverage of Healthcare in California, the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunities for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org.